You'd open your bulletins. We'll go through the week's announcements. Directly after morning worship service this morning at 10:45, we'll have Sunday school for all ages. And Monday night at 6:30 is Finance Committee meeting. Wednesday is New Year's Day. There will be no midweek service. And then Friday from 6 to 9 is the Crusaders lock-in. That'd be Friday and Saturday. I guess if you check the bulletin board, there's a couple food items still needed for the lock-in. So if you think that you could help out with that, please look at there. And then we'd like to extend our sympathy to the family of Jack and Sue Pentland at the passing of Sue's brother this past Friday. I guess that we didn't have any other details about the funeral arrangements or anything, so if you just watch the paper. You have them? Okay. Pastor's going to give that later. I'm sorry. If you'd like to be added to the church prayer chain, let Linda know as soon as possible in order to get your name on the prayer chain list in the new phone directory. And then the annual business meeting will be after the fellowship dinner on Sunday, January 12th. If you're responsible for a year-end report, please submit it to Linda before January 8th. And then there are the offering envelopes are in the back table. If you'd like to have one of those, just make sure that you write your name on the notebook provided to correspond to the envelopes. This week's memory verse comes from John 5:19. Jesus gave them this answer: I'll tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. Thank you.
Good morning. Good to see you this morning. I trust that you all had a nice Christmas. A lot of you look nice in your new outfits. We're glad that you're here to worship with us this morning. Linda and I would like to thank you for the cards and the gifts that you extended to us, your words of encouragement and support and such. We just appreciate all that you folks do for us. The calling for Sue's brother will be next Sunday the 5th. Calling is from 1 to 3, and the funeral then will follow calling. And I forgot to ask where? Ellers on Main Street in Kokomo. Okay, so you can make note of that, and if you have a chance, go down and visit with them for a moment. I think that's everything that we need to cover at this point. Let's just bow in prayer and ask the Lord to come and minister to us this morning. Our Father God, thank you. Thank you that you are a miracle-working God, that you are a God of healing, a God of redemption, a God of patience and mercy and grace. And Father, thank you that you extend all of those things to us because of your great infinite love for us. Thank you for choosing us to be your adopted children, for calling us here today to fellowship as a family in song and in prayer, to listen to the Spirit of God teach us. And I pray, Father, that you will be exalted in this hour. I ask that you and you alone be sovereign God and in absolute control of all that is said and done. We pray, Father, that our time together will be sweet before you. We pray that our thoughts will be pleasing to you and that you will change our lives. Thank you for the privilege of sharing our tithes and offerings. We do so with a cheerful heart because you bless us so richly. Thank you again. We love you, Father, and we lift our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Joshua, chapter 3, and then it'll be two parts. It'll be verses 1 through 6 and verses 14 through 17. And if you can stand, we'd sure appreciate it. If you can't, that's fine. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Chittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officer went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priest, who are Levites, carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priest, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And then we'll go down to 14 and 17. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage, all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priest who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of the Araba, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. May the Lord add his blessing of the reading of his word this morning.
Eternal God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we are blessed more than all we could ever ask or imagine, just like you promised. Thank you. Thank you for the music that you have given to us, and thank you for those who are talented to write it, those who are talented to play it. And God, thank you that you have touched the musicians that are here and so many others who want to use their talent to bring honor and glory to you. We just pray that you'll continue to minister through Chandler, Nathan, Ryan, all of our young people who are learning to use the gifts that you have given them, and thank you that they have godly families who encourage them. Thank you that you have blessed us in so many ways with folks who are willing to serve, willing to give of their time. Thank you, Father, for being so good to us and for watching over us. And we would ask you this morning to forgive us of our sins and our sinfulness. We just aren't there yet. And we need the Spirit of God to be firm with us, to work in our lives, to continue to call us to a life of righteousness, a life of sanctification, a life that desires more than anything to obey, to follow you. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for the gift of healing and the way you've worked in Ruth's life and for her testimony, for all those who ministered to her and for the way she and Don ministered to us. I pray that you'll continue to strengthen her in her daily life. And Father, we ask you to watch over Sue and the family, and we pray that you'll be with them in this time and at the homegoing of her brother. I pray that you'll bring peace and comfort, and we thank you that he is now rejoicing, and we just pray that you'll continue to minister. We think of Jack this morning. Ask you to lay your hand on him and bring peace and comfort. And again, we thank you for the family, the support, and again, their ministry to us. We pray that you'll continue to help us minister as many ways as we can to help all those, Father, who need the hand of God upon them. It is our privilege to look into the Word of God this morning at this great passage that you have given to us, where we can again watch you be God. And so, Father, we just ask that you'll speak to our hearts. You know us perfectly. And I pray that this will minister to us. We look forward to what you have because we know the magnitude of what you've already given us. And so we just ask you to speak to our hearts today. We love you. And we lift our prayers to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles, please, to Joshua chapter 3. You know, it was just 2 years after God delivered Israel from Egypt that he brought them to the Jordan where they could look across and see Cana. And you know how when that happened, they sent 12 spies over to check out the land. And when the spies came back, 10 of them said, "There's no way we can take that land. Why, the people over there make us look like grasshoppers." And now, wouldn't you think after 40 years of watching God work that there would be no question And he brought them here to the Jordan, brought them to look to see Canaan, and they went over, saw the land, saw the people, and said, well, we can't do that. And they had forgotten all that God had done for them 40 years. Aren't you glad we're not guilty of those kind of things today? Oh, whoops. And because 10 of those spies doubted, God turned Israel back into the desert to wander there for 40 more years as punishment for their disbelief. Did you ever wonder, did you ever stop to think about how many times in your life God has brought you to a point where you can stand where you are and see where God wants you to be, and all you have to do is just walk in that direction, and you have turned away because of your disbelief. You have doubted that God could take you from where you are to where he wants you to be. At Gilgal, which is where they were, the Jordan River is normally about 50 feet wide, and it runs like the Wabash runs most of the time. It just kind of wanders its way down to the Dead Sea. It's no big deal. But this time, when God brought Israel to the river, it was at flood stage and about a mile wide. And so now it's all different. It's a raging river. And God says, now you're going to cross. I came across this outline, and I really liked it. I was doing some study and preparation, and so the outline is borrowed, but everything else you blame me for. I want to look first at a message to consider. There is a message to consider. Please be a message to consider. Hello. Oh, I hate this. Tom? Oh, he's not here. There's a message to consider. And that message involved a three-part challenge. Now, let me tell you something. When we hear the word challenge, we often treat it like we do other words like submission, obedience, completely, all those things. And we begin right away to doubt God. May I offer this to you? Many times the size of the challenge determines your distance from God. See, the further you are from God, the smaller he looks and the bigger the challenge looks. And the closer you are to God, the bigger he looks and the smaller the challenge looks. So let me ask you something. How is it with you today and challenges that you may be facing? Now, you see, one of the challenges that we're all facing together is next year. They're always a challenge. And they're a challenge all the time. But I want to ask you, as you stand here at the end of this year, and you look back, and then you look across Wednesday into next year, how big is God? How much of the unknown do you see because God is so small? So stay up close. Now, part of the message to them, first of all, was to watch God. The first part was to watch God. In verse 3, it says that Joshua called the officers and giving orders to the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites who are carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. He wanted them to keep their eyes on the Ark of the Covenant. Why is that important? Because the Ark of the Covenant was God's presence among them. So you see, You see, God has always had a desire and always made it his business to be among his people. And he said, at this time, I need for you to watch God. Keep your eyes on, in this case, the Ark of the Covenant. So I would say to you, we don't have an Ark of the Covenant, but we do have this, don't we? We do have this. And it's important that you keep your eyes on God. You get it, don't you? If you're going to follow God, you have to have your eyes open. And you have to watch where he's leading you. In John chapter 15, part of the memory verse that we read this morning, or the memory verse is part of this passage. In John chapter 15 and verse 19, Jesus says this. I'm sorry, John 5. It's okay. It's just old age. John 5, 19. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do, what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. But the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. I think it's interesting. If Jesus is saying to us, I can only do what I see my Father do. And he is God the Son. He's been with God the Father from eternity. And yet, when he came and he put on flesh, remember, and he tabernacled, dwelt among us temporarily, he only could do what the Father told him to do, what he saw the Father do. And if that's the eternal Son of God speaking, and he says, I can only do what God wants me to do, doesn't it make sense for you and I as recovering sinners to do only what God asks us to do? To do only what we see the Son do, who does what he sees the Father do? It's so easy. We keep our eyes on God. And you know what? That's where we get in trouble. When we take our eyes off God, we begin to get in trouble. And we take our eyes off God oftentimes because God does not take us where we want to go. Always does he. Because our sin and sinfulness calls us in a different direction. And God says, no, I want you to go this way. Our job is to wait and to watch. Now, why would God want us to watch him? It's the second part of the challenge. Number two, not only were they to watch God, they are to follow God. Follow God. In verse 3, he says in the last part, when you see them move out, follow the ark. Nowhere in Scripture does God ever tell us, listen to me, nowhere in Scripture does God ever tell us we can be stagnant or immobile or inactive. You see, the word life implies action. We are to be doing something. People who are alive and don't do anything are acting contrary to the entire reason they're alive. God always intends for us to be doing something. And it's the reason that too many people who call themselves Christians never grow in Christ is because they never do anything. Listen. God is a God who rewards risk. Now, for you folks on Wednesday night, we at a point like this would say, well, they're boat potatoes. They don't get out of the boat. Peter said, hey, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you. And Jesus said, okay, Peter, come to me. Now Peter has a decision, doesn't he? So he gets out of the boat. And somebody will say, yeah, but he took his eyes off Jesus and he started to sink, didn't he? And Jesus had to rescue him. You missed the point. He got out of the boat. And you know what? Some, maybe in this room, some, are spending your whole Christian life in the boat. You're not doing anything. And if you were to look at your spiritual growth now and your spiritual growth a year ago at this time, it'd be the same, which means you're not growing, which means you're not normal. Beloved, he said, I want you to keep your eyes on the ark, and when it moves, you move. I don't know a lot of people, but listen to me. I cannot find anywhere in here where God says, once you get saved, just go sit down somewhere and wait till I call you home. Can't do it. And I need for you to understand this. And I need, it's not me that needs it. We need to understand. We can't let our children get the idea that just because the world and just because America is becoming an entitlement society, that Christians live the same way. You know what? We are not entitled to anything. And God gives to us our salvation as the most amazing gift ever given. Can you imagine if Jesus would have said to God, let me think about it. That's not fair. I don't want to do that. I ain't doing that. Where would you and I be? It's easy. We'd be in hell. And that's why I thank God for all the people of this, and you ought to too. You ought to thank God for all the people that make this body what it is and do the work so it functions the way it's supposed to function. But beloved, some of us are getting old. Some of us aren't going to be around for a long time. And some of us are concerned about who's going to carry on. Are you teaching your children and your grandchildren as a Christian? You must move out with God. You need to follow him. Do you understand? Read it in Scripture. Anywhere in Scripture. God rewards only risk and activity. God does not reward, nor does he bless idleness. You have to risk. And God will reward you. Then he says, the people are to honor God. That's the third thing. They are to honor God. You will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. How many of you in here this morning have been beyond today? It's not a trick question, is it? Yet, now watch. We don't know what this afternoon holds, do we? And yet God says to us in Ephesians 2:10, you are my workmanship. Ooh, just ponder that for this week. God's individually handcrafted, one-of-a-kind workmanship. And then it's God's workmanship. So where do I get off redesigning it or marring it in any way? I am created in Christ Jesus. What kind of security do you want? Read in John 15. You are in me. I am in you. We are in the Father. Come on now. There's no better security anywhere. Okay, we'll start with that. Why? To do good works, I have planned in advance for you. Today is not the last day, probably. Today is another day. Tomorrow, God has something designed for you, and for however many more are written in your book. And God says, I need for you to follow me. And you haven't been this way before. I have. I see the end from the beginning. I know what it looks like an eternity away. But you don't. You've never been this way before. So keep your eyes on the Lord. Watch and honor him by following him. And if you do that, God will lead you where he wants. And you will be better off for it. I like what one writer says. They are to keep their distance from the ark out of fear and honor. And he says there is to be holy reverence and fear of God in our hearts. You cannot buy into the heresy that the fear of God means I respect him. The fear of God means, in both testaments, it's the word phobos, which means afraid, fear. God can take you out anytime. God can take all you have. God can take everything but your breath. God can bless you. Or God can do what he needs to do to get your attention. God could call you home. And when God does that, then the judgment, remember? Are we to be afraid of God? Absolutely. And anybody that tells you otherwise doesn't get it. They don't understand Scripture. Out of that fear comes reverence. I don't want to do anything that would offend my Heavenly Father, nor cause him to have to discipline or punish me. I won't do that. And that's the point here. The message is to watch God, follow God. That's the challenge. Now, watch the command. He says in verse 5, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. They are to sanctify or consecrate themselves. I think it's amazing today how people think they can come to God dirty. They can come to God any way they want to, carrying with them whatever ungodliness or worldliness or sinfulness they like. And they think that's okay. And at the same time they're doing that, they come to God and say, now here's my plan and here's how I need you to bless me. Doesn't work that way. People really believe that. Look around. I mean, it's obvious, isn't it? You heard on the radio this, or the television, you've heard on the news that what's his name now? I forgot him. Is back on Duck Dynasty, right? Okay, he's back. You know what A&E is going to do? They're going to start airing commercials that promote tolerance and patience. Well, that'll take care of everything. And that's our society's answer. Let's not call sin sin. Let's learn to be tolerant so we don't offend anyone. Can you find that in the book? No. Are we guilty of that? Be careful. God says, you are to sanctify yourself. You are to set yourself apart. And by the way, probably most of us either yesterday or today showered and got all cleaned up. We took time at what we put on this morning. We came to church presentable, what we call presentable. We took some time and put some effort in to getting ready to come. And here we are. You're a lovely looking bunch for the most part. No. Sometimes we put more effort into getting ready to go to supper than we do to go to worship, or than we do in our daily quiet time, or in our entire life, don't we? Beloved, if you thought last year was hard as a Christian, wait till you see this year. I heard somebody say, I don't remember if it was on talk radio, something I was listening to, but whoever was talking said, in 2014, get ready to make some serious steps in defending your faith. Because believe it or not, the enemy is after it. And he wants to take away our freedom to worship. And we need to understand only those people who are honestly sanctified, who are honestly set apart, who honestly mean business with the Lord, are the ones who are going to make it. And you've heard me say it before. We have wolves that come in here. And we need to be ready. It is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Sanctify yourself. And that command follows the Old Testament, and it's never revoked in the New Testament. Paul tells us that we've been sanctified. Remember, Peter said that in verse 1. He said, you've been sanctified, cleansed, set apart. And the whole thing carries through. Because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God has cleaned us and made us fit for the Spirit to live in us. Who are we to dirty his house? I think it's interesting that the people who don't put any effort into following God are the first ones to bellyache about God not meeting their needs, huh? And they make it miserable, don't they? The only way you can come to God even as an adopted child is sanctified, cleansed, holy. The message involved a challenge. The message involved a command. But it involved a commitment in verses 9 through 13. And he said that when they took up the ark, and they passed ahead of the people, and God said in verse 7, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all, to Joshua, and they will know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests of the ark who carry, the priests who carry the ark of the covenant, would you reach the edge of the waters, go and stand in the river. And then Joshua says, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. And there is the commitment. You are to listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you. He will certainly drive out all those ites. This is one of those places in Scripture where God says this. If you do this, then I'll do this. And if you do a real careful study of most of what God says in his promises, they work that way. If you do this, and oftentimes God says, if you do this this way, I'll do this. And that's because God knows how it's supposed to work. God says this, you do what you can do. Watch me, follow me, honor me. Consecrate yourself. Set yourself, clean yourself up. Come to me in a right attitude. Now let me ask a question. Can you as an individual do that? Can you watch God? Can you? Can you honor God? Can you follow him? Let me tell you something. Can you be sanctified, separated? Here's how you know the answer to the question. does God definitively tell me to do that? Yes, God does. That's how I know I can do it. God will not ask me to do something I can't. And that's the second half of this. God says, you do these things. I will then do what you can't. But I will only do what you cannot do when you've done all you can do. Get it? Get it? Now listen, don't walk through life saying, oh, I could do so much more. I need to be so much more. I just need to read more and study more. You know anybody that doesn't? It's not my point. You get it. You do what you can do, and God will help you understand that. The problem, 100% of the time, is we try to be God and do the things we can't. We try to change people's hearts. We try to make things happen the way we want them to, even in our own life. We try to make events happen. I'm so worried about this. Well, stop it. You're not supposed to worry. Right? God says, don't worry. But the next thing isn't be happy. The next thing is, don't worry. In everything, by prayer and supplication, what? With thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God that passes understanding will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. God tells us what he wants us to do and tells us how to do it. And when we do that, he says, then I will do what you can't do. So the question is, do you trust him, believe him enough? The second thing, I'll just give you the answers here because we need to fix that clock back here. It's going way too fast. It's not working right. Number two, there is a miracle to consider in verses 14 through 17. Now, the first thing is there is a problem. And the problem was that the Jordan was over a mile wide at flood stage, and here stands about 3 million people ready to cross. Picture, if you will, the Colorado River at its lowest point in those whitewater rapids, and then trying to walk across that. Now, from a human perspective, that's what has happened here. God has said, there it is, today's the day. And so the problem is that the Jordan River is now a death trap. Now they can't get across it. Now it has become an impossible obstacle. And so, if you will, Canaan at this point is unattainable. But in verse 15, God says the Jordan is at flood stage during harvest, yet as soon as the priest who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away in a town called Adam. By the way, does anybody happen to know about how wide traditionally the Red Sea was parted to get people through on dry land? I'm sorry? About a mile. That's exactly right. About a mile wide. Do you know how far Adam was from Gilgal? 20 miles. Yeah, that's right. 20 miles upstream, God piles up the water. How did he do that? I don't know. Wasn't there. But did you notice? They went across on dry ground. What did it take for the river to stop flowing? What had to be done? The priest. Hey, good time to be a deacon, not a priest. The priest had to take the Ark of the Covenant, and you remember if anything happened to the Ark, those carried it died. God says, go ahead and step in. Really? Do you see, beloved? God says, I will stop the river once you step in. And I ask you now, is God just waiting for you to step in? He's brought you to an impossible situation. I can't serve in that capacity. I can't do what you're asking me to do. Pastor, you make it seem like it can't be done. It's not me. Do you understand? I don't have to do it. I have to do what God said. Can you step in? Yes. Are you afraid? Yes. You think I didn't think of that? You think I don't see the river? Do you think I don't understand? See, there's a problem. But God says to them, number two, I have a plan. A plan. He always follows his problems with a plan. And this time he says, since you're going to follow me, and since you're keeping your eyes on me, and since I'm asking you to follow me, would you just step in? Would you? Would you? I talked with a man recently, and been talking with him for a while, and he came to me the other day, and in essence, he said, I just want you to know that I am really uncertain about all this, but I've run out of reasons. And what he said was, I'm going to step in the water. Amen. Amen. I'll share more about that with you later. But beloved, God has already figured out how he's going to take care of it. And I just wonder this morning, how many of you need to just step in? Because with the plan, there came a performance. And in verse 17, it says, the priest carried the ark of the Lord and stood firm on dry ground. Where? In the middle of the Jordan. God always plans to perform. And how does God solve our problems in proportions that are more than all we could ask or imagine? And when the miracle had been considered, and the children were across, God said, number three, I want a memorial. There is a memorial to consider. And the memorial had a purpose to it, and that purpose was to remember what the Lord had done. To remember what the Lord had done. Now, this is the story in, I'm sorry, this is the account in chapter 4. Can I ask you a quick question and then I'll move on? How many memorials on the other side of Jordan you've crossed have you built to the Lord? You know why God wanted them to build the memorial? So it would be a picture, number one, of God's faithfulness in keeping his word. It was a picture of God's faithfulness in keeping his word. And it was also a picture of the faithfulness of the people in following God or in obeying God. And God wants us to understand that. God gives us things along the way to help us say, see, I did it there, I'll do it here. And sometimes the Jordans keep getting wider and wider and wider, or the valleys deeper and deeper, or the mountains higher and higher, don't they? Because God knows that you can, he knows you can cross that. He knows you can do what's next. You don't, and he needs to show you. And so God keeps pulling you and stretching you a little bit. And so he said, I want you to build me a memorial so that when you and your children and their children say, what's that pile of stones for? You can say, that's when God stopped the Jordan so we could come into the land. And so, what miracle do you need God to perform for you this morning? You say, well, I'd like to get through the next year. Okay. May I tell you, and I tell you of a certainty, you will. You will get through 2014. Maybe here, maybe there, but you'll get through it. And I would just suggest to you that it doesn't make any difference what Jordan you have to cross. God knows the way. God has the plan. God will solve the problem. God will make all provisions if you will step in. So now the ball's in your court. Eternal Father, thank you. Thank you for being a God who controls everything. And thank you for being a gracious God who has invited us into your presence to make our request known. And you know where every one of us are standing at the Jordan. And you know the fears that are keeping us from stepping in. Help us to understand you're greater than all our fears together. Help us. As Jesus said, give us, as Jesus' disciples said, give us the faith. Increase our faith that we might trust you without question. Oh, Father, what a blessing. Thank you so much. We love you, and we lift our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.